Gracious Father, we do thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy. We thank You for Your Word that You have sanctified to our hearts, causes us to overflow. We're reminded of an old saint many years ago by the name of John Warburton on his deathbed, who had such sweetness and such fullness of the Lord of glory that he just couldn't take it anymore and even begged that Your presence would be removed for just a little bit because it was so full he just could not handle it anymore. Then it wouldn't be long that he would be asking for You to return again. Truly, our vile bodies must be fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to see You in full glory. Truly, our souls shall be satisfied when we wake in His likeness. But until then, we still live in this sinful world, in sinful bodies. As our Lord said in His priestly prayer to You, He would not take us out of the world, but He would keep us in the world. And we know, O God, that we would have left You long ago and never return if it were not for Your overruling providence and grace and mercy. And we thank You for that. And we truly ask that You would not leave us to ourselves. Bless us to glean with Brother Michael as he's traveling home and be with Brother Jeff and Sister Susan as they travel back home later with Brother Ray and Sister Glennis and others, even in our close localities. We ask for traveling mercies. Keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we left off looking and coming back to the man that was sick of the palsy, showing that Jesus ignored his physical affliction and went straight to the real issues, and that of forgiveness of sin. I would like for us to look at a few other illustrations in the Scriptures of the same likeness. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. We want to see here of the Syrophoenician woman. Now, it doesn't call her the Syrophoenician woman in this chapter, but it does in Mark's account, I believe, in chapter 7 of Mark. I won't read that, but we'll, just for time's sake, we'll read one of the incidents as recorded. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Might give you a little remembrance. He was in one section and he goes up here, really out of Palestine somewhat, up there in Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me. And it calls her a woman of Canaan here. In Mark's account, it calls her the Syrophoenician woman. In other words, one of the other maps, you can see it a little bit better, I think, if the old map will hold up. Tyre and Sidon is in Phoenicia. And so you see, she was a Syro, part of Syria, Syro-Phoenician woman, Canaanite. She comes to the Lord and cries unto Him, "Have mercy on me, my Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But Jesus answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But He answered and said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, help me." But He answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Notice how Jesus is dealing with this woman. And when we first come to it, and we would see how He dealt with her, we would think, how discouraging. How discouraging. Do you not sometimes come to the Lord in prayer about a situation, and it seems as if the more you pray, the less you're heard? It seems like we're very much discouraged. You see, we have to realize, as we, to use a modern expression, as we get out of ourselves, we realize the Lord is dealing with things on His schedule and His timetable and not ours. And so the Lord, in verse 23, He ignores her. She comes to Him. She calls Him the Son of David. She calls Him Lord. Her daughter is possessed of a devil. She wants healing for her daughter. And she cries out to Him, quite vocal. I can visualize it in my own mind. Here's this, the Lord. I've forgotten, but seems like, if I remember correctly, I may be wrong, He might have been in a house in Luke's account. But whether He's in the house somewhere or whether He's out in public, here this woman comes and cries to Him. He just acts like He doesn't even hear her. He just ignores her. He answered her not a word. He never even acknowledged her presence. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, ignores an individual that's coming to Him greatly, fervently. And then, verse 23, His disciples came and besought Him, saying, "Send her away." The verb tense here is they kept saying, "Lord, just send her away. Get rid of her." They continually asked the Lord and besought the Lord to get rid of this woman. Send her away. We don't want her kind around. And sometimes as we go to the Lord and crying out, we wonder if the Lord is really interested in our kind. Well, if He's not going to answer me, I'm just not good enough. You see, we have to be stripped of everything that we have to deal with the real issues. As the hymn says, nothing in my hand I bring. Nothing in your heart nor head must you bring. You don't have anything the Lord wants. Not as far as any worth of being considered. Then in verse 24, the Lord tells her that He was not sent to anyone outside of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I haven't come for folks like you. I wasn't sent but to anyone but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Israelites, a Syrophoenician. There's already racial discrimination still going on today. Racial discrimination. And he tells this woman, I'm not sent for you. I'm not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How discouraging. How discouraging, as the world would say. Most people would give up right there. And then in verses 25 and 26, even after she worships the Lord and continually begs, because it says, then she came and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, help me. There again is in that Greek tense that she just continually, help me, Father, Lord, help me, help me. I just need your help. In other words, she continually asked for help. It wasn't just a one-time thing. She just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. Her daughter was possessed of the devil and she wanted relief for her daughter. She wasn't even asking for herself. And he calls her a dog. He refers to her as a dog. It's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Now this is God dealing with someone in distress. What is the purpose? Why would the Lord treat someone like this? He was dealing with the real issues again. What was the real issue? Humiliation and faith. Humiliation and faith. Tyre and Sidon were very prideful cities. She had great faith, but it was to be brought forth. Does not the Holy Scriptures teach us that the trial of our faith is more precious than that of gold, that it may be found to the honor and glory of Christ? There's no question but she had great faith. Even before she came. What good is faith unless it is exposed? How can you show forth your great faith if you're not greatly tried and continue to hold on the way? She worshiped Him in verse 25. She admitted she deserved nothing from Him in verse 27. She confessed Him to be her master in verse 27. And the Lord affirmed her great faith in verse 28. You see, deliverance from the devil is not as important as being humble and faithful to the Lord. It's more important that you be humble and faithful to the Lord than it is to be delivered from the devil. No. to the world, the physical, the self, the emotions, the pains, the trials in life, sin, the trials in sin, the trials with the devil. To the world, these are important things. The world says these things are the real issues to which we must face each day. Well, this is important. And to the world, this is what is important, especially when tragedy comes, such as tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, I almost said hurricanes, hurricanes, earthquakes, floods, wars. Though terrible as these things are, and we are sinfully hardened if we're not moved by the sufferings of others, we must know that the real issue is what is the state of the souls of those people. But while you see their suffering, we made reference to this morning, while you see their sufferings and the fact that the Lord could have prevented the evils of coming upon these people, He did not. And you must not think that you're any better than the others. We should look well into our own souls and see what's going on. Because listen to Luke, or turn with me if you desire, Luke 13. There were present at that season some that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell, and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, in Islamabad, I believe it is, in Pakistan, 10-story apartment falls. That earthquake. Last time I looked this morning, they were talking about 18,000 possibly confirmed dead already. Shocks 400 miles away from that epicenter. That apartment building just came down. There are tall buildings around that mass of concrete that are still standing. Why? Were they worse than anybody else? That's not the issue. The issue is, are we really dealing with the realities of life? Are we stopping and considering? Are we stopping and evaluating ourselves, seeing the man sick of palsy, seeing the woman that had the child that was possessed of the devil? Yes, it worked out well in the end. But look what they had to go through. Read the book of Job. The latter end of Job was better than the former, but look what he went through. Here this man was struck down, lost everything. His friends, so-called, come before him. And when they saw him, they were speechless for 7 days. He looked such a terrible mess, they were just horrified. They couldn't say anything for 7 days. And then when they started talking, well, you've done this or you've done that, or, you know, here the man's down already. And all they can do is just kicking dirt in his face, in his teeth. Miserable comforters. I'm sure some of us have been in states like that before. You're down and out, and somebody comes along, oh, just cheer up, it'll be all right. You know, and you want to give them the right hand of fellowship in the mouth. And that's life. But yet, in all that with Job, with this man of the palsy, the woman whose daughter was the devil, the Lord looks at like, you know, just brings them to the point that they are totally out of themselves. If somebody were to come to me, or if I were to go to somebody, we'll just put it one way, if somebody were to come to me and wanted something, and I say, I'm not here for you. That's not my job. That's not what the Lord sent me for. I don't cast pearls before swine. I don't give that which is holy to the dogs. And see, I can't really do that because I'm not God. I'm just making an analogy. I don't want you to think that I would do that. But if I did do that, most folks say, well, who in the world are you? What right do you have to talk to me that way? But here was the Lord, and this is what He was doing. And what does the individual do that comes to the real, to the reality of life? Did you know? You're right. You're right. Several years ago, I don't even know whether he's still alive or not, Brother Don Ellis, a minister up in Indiana, he was a paratrooper in World War II. He wanted the roughest job there was. Didn't see much combat. He jumped out of the plane the first time, landed in an apple tree in Germany, broke his leg, sent him to the German hospital. He thought the old German was going to take his leg off. He cried out, thought he was going to be tortured. He'd heard all these stories. They fixed him up, put him in a prison camp, sent him back home. But he thought he was a tough man, and he was tough in all that sense. But later on, he was in the ministry, and he had preached something, and somebody didn't like it, and they came up, and they just chewed him up one side and down the other and so on. And he told about that experience. And somebody said, well, Brother Don, what'd you do? He could have probably taken a man's head off one hand. He said, you know, said, I just got to thinking, if he really knew the real story about me, he'd know that I'm a lot worse than what he said. That's where we've got to come to. Get rid of all this pride, haughtiness, high-mindedness. Think we're really something. That's what the Lord did with these folks. And here were some folks that here the pilot killed some folks, and here was a building that just fell on some folks and killed 18 people. And Jesus said, "You think they're worse than anybody else? If you don't repent, you'll perish also." And that's what everybody else ought to learn from these earthquakes and hurricanes and things like that. If we don't repent, we're going to perish also. Let's give you another illustration. Turn to Luke chapter 10. We want to see reality in Mary and Martha. Beginning at Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, who is this Mary and Martha? What certain city? Well, turn with me to John. Hold your finger there. We'll come back to it. Turn to John 11. Turn to John chapter 11. Verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And then jump on over to John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had that bag, had the bag, and bare what was put in it. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me you have not always. And then I would like to, while you're holding your finger in Luke, turn to Matthew 26 right quick. I want to get another character in this picture of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Then Jesus, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. So you have here Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Simon the leper in the house in Bethany. So Jesus, it was nothing unusual for him to go to this place. Lazarus was his friend. Now back in Luke 10. Mary, Martha, sisters of Lazarus and so on, had Jesus in their home for a visit. It said Martha received him. Generosity here. Verse 39 of Luke 10, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now you sisters know what it's like to have company. None of you, I don't believe, are exempt. We've got to get the house clean. We're going to get it a whole lot cleaner than what we live. You know. We're going to try to cook, make sure we get enough. Hopefully, what we're fixing, they're going to like. What do they like, you know, and all of that. When are they going to be here, you know? How much time do I have? The whole scenario. Nothing wrong with that. Provided it doesn't consume you. Here we have Martha and Mary. Martha, as any hostess might do, was busy serving company. Notice it said, Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was busy. She was busy. She was going to be a good hostess. She was cumbered about much serving. But there was one problem with Martha. She was resenting Mary. Martha was doing all the work. What's Mary doing? She's sitting down enjoying company. She kicked her shoes off, got in the easy chair, sat there listening to the Lord and talking to the Lord. Martha doing all the work. Put yourself in the shape, in the state. Children, what would you be doing if you're trying to make a good impression on the company and your brother or sister sitting around doing nothing? You know what most of us, if not 100% of us, would be doing? Here I am doing all the work and they're doing nothing. They're doing all. I'm doing nothing. Nothing. Pay attention, children. They're all. I'm doing nothing. Or she's doing nothing. I'm doing all the work. And Martha goes to the Lord and said, don't you care that I'm doing everything? Here, Martha goes to the company and puts Mary on the spot. I'm doing all the work. Mary is doing nothing. Why don't you get Mary to help me? Can't you just see a family feud? But Jesus said, Martha, you're busy and worried about too much. Mary has chosen that good part that shall never be taken away. That's not wrong to feed company. Not wrong to be a good host. But it's wrong to be consumed with it. To the point that you miss the eternal realities of life. You see, you're not going to be thinking about that good meal you fixed for the Lord when you're in glory. And you're sure not going to be worried about what somebody else did, or how they received the meal or didn't receive the meal. The Lord wanted Mary to see the realities of life. Recently, children had fixed a good meal at home and they were wanting to really encourage and please Daddy, and I had said something about something, I don't even know what it was now, but one of them jumped up to get it and so on. I said, just sit down. Just sit down and enjoy it. Let's just enjoy it together. I can get that later. It always somewhat bothered me as being a minister and visiting in people's homes. And the lady, not condemning her, but the lady, you know, wanting to be a good hostess and sit down and hopping up and getting something, sitting back down, hopping up and getting. I wanted her to sit down and enjoy the meal too. For you see, Lord doesn't pass by very often and sit down like that, but when He does, sit with Him. sit with him. Mary had to learn, Martha had to learn that. I don't know whether you picked up on it or not, but in John chapter 11, when Jesus went to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, after it said Martha served. She was still serving. She was still serving. I'd like to think in John 11, her service was a little bit different than it was in Luke 10. She's still serving. But if Mary was sitting out there, she would let Mary sit there. You see, eternal truth and communion with the Lord will never come to an end. Food, clothes, jobs, frustrations, pain, suffering, these things are going to stop. Turn with me to Revelation 21. I begin in verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. The former things shall pass away, but the word of the Lord shall continue forever. And I tell you, the communion and fellowship that you have with Christ now will not stop. It will only increase as you enter into glory. This is reality. So you see, I've just given the man with the palsy. I gave you Mary and Martha. And then I also gave you the Syrophoenician woman. You see that God did not deal with what we would consider the real issue, but He dealt with the spiritual first. You see, the other things that are needful in their own sphere and own realm of living, we have to do those things, but you can never do those things with purpose and joy and peace if you are not at peace with God first. That's reality, dealing with reality. Teaching a child the multiplication table for the 16 kajillionth time seems like an effort in futility. But when you know that that's what God would have you to do, and you have that peace with God, you can do it with purpose. And it's not wasteful. Jeremiah had a message to Israel. You're going into captivity. What a ministry. Brother Ray reminded me at lunch, the Apostle Paul was instructed by Ananias. And God told Ananias, you go tell Paul that he's going to preach for me, and you show him what great things he's going to suffer for me. What a ministry. What a ministry. And this beloved apostle that went through so much, coming down to the end of his life, said, I've finished my course. I've run the race. I'm looking forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And when they preach Christ out of contention, supposing to add to my afflictions, I just praise God that Christ is being preached. He had a job. He did it with a purpose because he knew who he was and he knew what God had done with him. And he knew that he was nothing. He knew that he was nothing. This man that had had people murdered and tortured and punished, men and women. This man that had a hatred. How could he stand and proclaim the unsearchable riches of God when he had murdered people? How could he look people in the face with a clean conscience, knowing what a wretched life that he had as a self-righteous Pharisee? How could Mary, the woman out of whom seven devils were cast, and go on and on, think of the saints? How could they look anybody in the eye and carry on with their lives? They knew they were free in the eyes of God. They knew they were justified. They were sanctified. They were glorified. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Reality in life. I've got four things I want to read here. It is true that we must devote time and energy to the things of everyday life while we live in this earth. However, we must do these things in reference to reality. Christ and His kingdom first. Secondly, we will never be content with anything. I want that to sink in. You will not be content with anything, in anything, doing anything, nor with yourself. You will not be content with, you will not be content in life unless you are at peace with God. And if you live in a world of discontentment or not being content, I would encourage you to seek peace with God. I'm not asking you to be born again. You can't do that. You can do what I've encouraged. You can seek Christ. You can ask. You can knock. The Lord gave us, He says, if you ask, if you knock, the door will be open. If you ask, you'll receive. He said that. I didn't say it. He said it. He has never turned away a repentant sinner. Never has. Never has. And He never will. And if we're not at peace with self and everyone and everything around us, it is certain that we're not at peace with God. If you're not at peace with yourself and everybody and everything around you, you're not at peace with God. I'll be bold enough to say that. You've got a problem. And it's not with anybody but God. And you need to settle it with God. So you can be at peace with yourself and everybody else. It is obvious that if we do not conform to the plain teaching of the Holy Scriptures, it is evident that we will never know reality. If we're not conformed to the plain teaching, there's enough plain teaching. I'm not talking about what 666 is. That's not plain teaching. I'm not talking about what the beast and the false prophet and all of that stuff is. That's not plain teaching. I'm talking about everyday stuff that you know, plain as the nose on your face, what the Word of God says that you ought to be doing, that you may not be doing, and so on. It's obvious that if we're not conformed to the plain teaching of the Holy Scriptures, it is evident that we will never know reality. We will continually live in a dream world with self as the center and the mind as our thinking. As our standard. We'll continue to live in a dream world with me at the center, and the standard is what right here. The standard's not here. The standard would be what I think. To such an individual, the mind is their reality. Reality is doing what the Scriptures say. I'll read one other passage in closing. Luke 11:28. I've given this before. I'll read 27 with it. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Blessed is the woman that had you for a child. Blessed is the woman that fed you with her breast. You can be more blessed than Mary. He said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the Word of God and do it. Just to hear the Word of God and do it is more blessed than to be Mary, the mother of the Lord, the Virgin Mary. Now, I didn't say that. God did. I never would have had enough audacity to come up with such a statement. But God did. Our Lord did. That's reality. Let's pray. Father, help us to deal with reality. Much more could be said, but enough has been said. It doesn't take a lot of words. It only takes a lot of work. A lot of work on our part in humbling ourselves under your mighty hand. And yes, Father, we want you to deal with us as gently as possible. We know how weak we are. At least we think we do. We thank you that as a father pities his children, so you pity those that fear you. Help us to fear you. Help us to draw nigh to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.